Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm Laura Dierda, an editor at Becker's Healthcare, and I'm thrilled to welcome Dr. Paul Abiak, professor in the Harvard Medical School Department of Biomedical Informatics, and Max Peterson, vice president of international sales in the worldwide public sector at Amazon Web Services. I'm thrilled to have them both on the podcast today as we discuss a little bit of their work that they've been doing on Service Workbench. So before we begin our questions, I wanted to turn it over to Paul. Could you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background and your work on Service Workbench?
Hi, thanks Laura for inviting me to this podcast. And so I'm thrilled to explain what we've been doing, where I'm a faculty in the Department of Biomedical Informatics, where we're working on the large-scale integration of clinical and genomic data. And definitely where we had a very strong need to have a computing platform, and that's where we're collaborating with AWS engineers, where we managed to create AWS Service Workbench.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here. And then, Max, could you introduce yourself as well?
Certainly. Hi, Laura. Thanks for inviting us. I've got two jobs here at AWS in our public sector business. The first is leading our international teams around the world, helping customers, and in particular, focused on countries that have national health systems and helping them to accelerate things like population health and better health and social care. And the second responsibility I've got is leading our international healthcare business unit, which is where we listen to customers like Paul and others and develop neat solutions like Service Workbench.
Got it. Well, thank you so much for being here. I'm really looking forward to jumping into this discussion. My first question is for you, Paul. What are the big challenges academic medical center clinical researchers are facing today?
Yes, a very good question. Where today, based on the amount of data that we have available around patients, the clinical, the genomic data, their environment, there's a huge scale issue, a huge size based on the size of the data, where in order to be able now to compute the data at scale, we are limited with our on-prem servers. And so being able to to go to the cloud, and for example, here in AWS, is crucial to be able to do our analysis. For example, on the TopMed research project at NIH, where we have more than 200,000 full genomes, we can't compute on our on-prem servers. And doing this into a very secured environment is crucial to be able to make sure that all the data stays safe.
Got it. Thank you so much for walking us through that. And now, you know, I wanted to know, what are some of the most interesting applications that you found for Service Workbench? Where has it already been successful? And, you know, where do you think you could use it in the future?
Yes, we definitely, good question also, where we've been successful of using it for our internal investigators in the department, but also for teaching, to enable having those workspaces that, and in one word, in one sentence, Service Workbench is about having a free click solution that enable to democratize the access to the cloud computing for investigators and students. So to be able to have this front end without those individuals having access to the AWS console, to be able to very easily under the full control security of based on what someone is allowed to access, to be able to run their own environment and to launch predefined workspaces is definitely crucial. So we've used it in a class at Harvard in March this year, and using it across many different research projects, and looking forward to extend this across or also with Boston Children's Hospital and other departments at Harvard.
Fantastic. Max, do you have anything to add, particularly around what possibilities are ahead for Service Workbench?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just say at the beginning, sort of Service Workbench is an example of how we work backward from customer needs and then try to make it easier for them to take advantage of the power of the cloud. Specifically, Service Workbench is an open source project that lets researchers really quickly and securely stand up these research environments for their work so that they don't have to worry about the underlying effort from technology and security and configuration and many of the things that Paul talked about. So it really makes it simple and easy for people to collaborate on research and big data projects. And we see that need just universally across the world. It takes too much time and money with many of the legacy tools that people use. So that's the sort of really big picture. I think the other important thing is that as an open source project, we hope to develop real collaboration within the community. We don't know what all of the things are that people might want to do, but we're really good at listening and then quickly innovating for customers. And we really hope that as an open source project, we get this real community swell from people and organizations like Paul's and then across the world.
Thank you, Max. And how do you balance communication and those collaboration aspects of a Service Workbench that you just described with data security?
Laura, that's a great question, because at Amazon, security is really job zero. It's vital to people trusting and being able to operate with confidence in these shared collaboration environments. So at AWS, we've got over 200 different types of security tools, compliance, and governance frameworks. Many of those concepts integrated into Service Workbench. Of course, customers always own their content on AWS. It's theirs to manage and share as they see fit, you know, with the access controls that protect their data from unauthorized access. The other thing that's equally important is that AWS, you know, has worked for a long time in the healthcare industry. AWS has provided HIPAA compliant services for many, many, many years now. And we believe that achieving those same sorts of standards compliance with things like Service Workbench is super important, particularly in the future. And so Paul and team and members are early on in this process. We'll be right there to help Paul, his team, and others make sure that they can meet the security and compliance needs that they've got with AWS overall and with Service Workbench in particular.
Fantastic. Paul, do you have anything to add there when thinking about data security?
Yes, definitely. As Max pointed out, when we are handling in healthcare with patient data, where we have clinical data, sometimes we have the full PHI, meaning that we have the clinical notes with of the patients. It's crucial that the security is paramount in the context of making sure that the data will stay safe. And so that's why working with AWS, we've been working on how to have first HIPAA compliance, now HITRUST, and FISMA moderate compliance, and then FedRAMP, in order to make sure that all the data for the patients will stay extremely secured, which at the end is even more secure than what we can do on-prem within our own servers. So that's something crucial in this collaboration.
Fantastic. Now, my next question is for Max. How does AWS plan to make a difference in healthcare moving forward?
Thanks for that. You know, there's I think everybody realizes the world changed this year with the response to the COVID-19 pandemic that was absolutely essential. I think that's had a tremendous impact on the way that people think about using modern IT and digital approaches to health. I think that'll be long-lasting and enduring. So we've traditionally helped organizations be able to provide cost-effective and scalable and secure IT. That won't go away. It's a great opportunity to save money, and it's important to everybody now. But I think the future really is in things like telehealth, in data-driven decision-making, in machine learning, and in things like data collaboration that Service Workbench is aimed at. Let me give you two quick examples. Working with MedStar Health, a nonprofit healthcare organization. Before COVID, they used to provide direct patient interactions, about 240 direct telehealth patient interactions. The number just spiked between March and into June, with MedStar being able to now scale up and provide over 200,000 telehealth sessions across all their services. So we see that transformation enduring. We see it around the world. And another one, I'll go to the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, the Harvard Medical School affiliated teaching hospital, where they're using machine learning to improve patient care. And so they've got the ability now to complete history and physical information. It was typically delivered in the old world, you know, with faxes or people having to search through patient medical records. They're now using a tool called Amazon Comprehend Medical that helps to identify these forms and prompt the staff with where they're located. Also, they can speed up access to the information and ultimately to be able to focus more on the patient and improving patient care. So two quick examples.
Fantastic. Thank you for going through those with me. Now, the last question that I have here is for both of you, and we'll start with Paul. What makes you nervous and what are you excited about for the future?
What makes me nervous is, as being an academic, is the funding, is making sure that there's, because we all our grants is based with mostly with taxpayers' money, so we have to make sure that we don't overspend, that we have a full control of any single expenditure. And something that was crucial in the design of Service Workbench was to make sure that we have a full control so that there's not any money wasted using the cloud computing resource. And so that's a very important feature for us that enable us to have, for the user and also for the admin, a full vision of a device cost of the infrastructure.
Got it. That makes sense. Yes, go ahead, Paul. You can love to hear your thoughts and take in as well.
Sorry, Laura. This is Max. I didn't mean to interrupt, but what makes us anxious is I think we're still as a community and as a world uncertain in how the rest of the COVID-19 pandemic runs its course. And so we do have some customers that are very challenged from a budget and cost perspective. We'll continue to help them. We have communities and organizations that are challenged from a healthcare capacity and delivery perspective. That makes, you know, us anxious, and it makes us look harder for ways to be able to solve those needs. But the thing that I'm excited about, it's when I look across the spectrum of all those changes, I see examples of really brilliant customers all around the world who are applying modern, innovative capabilities to solve these problems. And the things that Paul talked about and that people are doing with Service Workbench is one example. But on a global scale, I see really interesting responses to large scale community problems. People are using the cloud to accelerate the research and diagnostic potential of genomics. People are using the cloud to do amazing things with image recognition, like being able to analyze huge volumes of chest X-rays and use machine learning to detect different anomalies. There are a lot of things in the world today, you know, that make us anxious with the ability to combat the pandemic and deliver great care for people. But I take heart in the fact that smart people are using new capabilities and coming up with even better ways to serve us in the future.
Well, and fantastic.
I would add, in the context of the and what I'm excited about, because I forgot to mention this, it's definitely the scalability and innovation that we can do using Service Workbench. where looking, as Max pointed out, the fact that it's on a truly open source Apache 2 license enables to create a community where there will be a lot of open source development of creating and extending the platform very easily, where all the different cutting edge machine learning, deep learning techniques will be made available from the different labs. And that's something that really excites me.
Well, Paul, Max, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a fascinating conversation, and we look forward to connecting again in the future.
It was great to talk to you, Laura.
Great. Thank you very much, Laura.